Welcome to Creative Mind Living, a podcast for people interested in personal growth based on the principles of Carl Jung, neuroscience, and Eastern philosophies. We are your hosts, Deborah
and Robert Maldonado,
founders of Creative Mind Coaching. Welcome to Creative Mind Living with Deborah and Rob, and we have a great show for you today. Are you excited today, Rob, about our topic, my favorite topic?
Yes, because today we're talking about hypnosis.
Ooh.
Is it real or is it bunkers?
Bunk. No. We're going to debunk the myths of hypnosis. And it's near and dear to my heart because this is how I started out in this whole personal development industry is as a hypnotherapist. And over the years, especially when I first started and I told people I was a hypnotherapist, people would be...
Ooh, she's going to hypnotize you.
Yeah. Remember, we went to a family wedding and one of my aunts kept sneaking up to us and she goes, "Watch out, Debbie's going to hypnotize you." And it was just a big joke. But... truly, we're going to talk about what hypnosis is and how it can actually help you, that state of mind can actually help you change your life, how it's affecting your life without you even knowing it. And you're probably hypnotized right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, Freud, the father of psychology, used hypnosis initially in his work.
Mm-hmm.
And he had learned it from previous people that were using it in Paris and other places like Charcot.
And Mesmer was doing it with his little...
Yeah, incredible stuff.
That's where that mesmerize comes from?
Yes. And actually, when psychology began as a science... it was considered a bona fide approach to look at the mind internally, meaning to introspect about what your mind is doing. And then around the early 1900s, the behaviorists started taking over. People like Watson and Skinner kind of took over the science and said, if we can't observe it, let's forget about it.
Let's just look at the tangibles that we could see, measure people's behavior and responses, and maybe the skin response.
Right, and so it wasn't until the 1960s that the idea of consciousness and looking at the mind and what's going inside the brain and all this good stuff started to come back into the science.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we pick up our story, where hypnosis, we know, has been used in pain management to reduce addiction, to reduce phobias.
Get people to quit smoking.
Yes. Very effectively in some cases, and in other cases, not so effective. And there's still a lot of controversy as to what is going on in the brain when a person is hypnotized.
Well, I think a lot of the main myth that people misunderstand hypnosis as is it's not a state of mind that one person can really impress upon another person to control them. Mm-hmm. There is no control. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So hypnosis in itself is not the magic, actually. It's the state of mind that the magic happens in. So think of hypnosis as a state of mind, a state of consciousness. It's not something someone does to you. And I always say, use this example because everyone can relate to it. A baby, you can't force a baby to sleep. If the baby does not want to sleep, you're not going to do something to them, hypnotize the baby to sleep. But you can create the conditions and the environment for that baby. You rock it, you soothe it, you give it soft words, and then that baby will slowly go to sleep. And so that's what a hypnotist would do. They basically guide you into that state, but they cannot force you into that state. And hypnosis is a natural state. We go into it before we go to sleep and right before we wake up every single day. So it's a state of mind that we're in for a limited time. And then we go in and out of trance all day long. Our brain waves change and adjust all day long. So a lot of people think that, it's just like when a hypnotist can hypnotize me and they're going to do something to my brain and then I'll magically not be able to, smoke a cigarette anymore.
Yeah, and a lot of the misconceptions comes from popular media. I mean, we've all seen those movies or mm-hmm. videos where the hypnotist is making people cluck like a chicken and act like a duck and all those things.
Bark like a dog.
What's going on in those situations, would you say?
Well, here's the secret. I'm giving away the hypnotist's secret, is that 10% of the population on average is highly hypnotizable, highly suggested. So those are the type of people that they're very kind of open to suggestion, meaning they believe a lot of what is told to them. They act more in the herd mentality. And it doesn't mean that they're not smart. It just means it's just like they can be into that state really quickly and enter a deep state that it's almost as asleep. And there's very few people that can do it, only 10%. So what the hypnotist does is he goes around and brings people up. First, he gets a volunteer because you can't hypnotize someone without their permission. and then he does these little tests on them. And then one by one, he sends people back. And then there's maybe two or three people on the stage that are those people. Out of 100 people, 10 of them will be able to do whatever he says. And they're aware of what's happening. They're not asleep. But they're they don't have the resistance, and they just do it, and it's just fun, and they kind of know what they're doing. And a lot of people say, well, sometimes they say, oh, I don't remember anything. And it's because they do, but they're embarrassed to say they do.
Yes.
So they say, oh, I don't remember, but so they feel
right.
like, and it's not a loss of control. I mean, they can snap out of that any moment, but it's almost like they get into that deep state where they don't want to.
Yeah, we know human beings are highly social creatures, and so social pressure makes people act in certain ways.
Yeah.
The memory part brings us to another point, though. You know, in popular movies or videos, we see people hypnotized so they can remember things. Is that true?
It is. Because we do have, and memory, like you know, works in a different way than, it's not like a VHS tape or, you know, a digital tape where we can go back and see something. It's stored in different parts of the brain. But you can actually, I call it the Google search. You can actually use emotion to an event and it would bring you back to that event. And then the mind will start to fill in that memory. If you're in that altered state, depending how deep you are in the state, because there's different levels, you can actually relive and taste and feel and experience something that happened in the past, and you feel like you're there. Mm-hmm. Just like we get absorbed in a dream, it's the same state of mind, except it's a little, it's not as deep as sleep, but it's that similar state of mind, that that rapid eye movement state where you're kind of really involved in exploring.
Yeah.
And so I've had people come to me because they lost things. They have a lost memory.
I lost my keys.
I had that. But sometimes important paperwork. But, you know, if you're drunk and you have a bad night and you're like, what did I do last night? You probably won't be able to recall that memory because it wasn't stored in the short-term memory. So it's not like
right.
there. So it's interesting. Memory is interesting. But and then we all remember our perspective. So we're going to see things as our mind and our ego has designed that story. So it's always say that your memories are a little bit of fact and a little bit of fiction mixed in. It's never really truly a true memory.
Yeah. One more thing before we get to more of the psychology of it, but what about pain? Because, you know, I've seen some incredible videos of people undergoing surgeries and incredible painful things under hypnosis without anesthetics. Is that possible?
Absolutely. It comes with again, if you can go to deeper states, if you are willing to, you know, be in that state, and the suggestion, the craft of the suggestions from the hypnotizer, the hypnotist, many doctors actually know these, are trained in hypnosis, some of them in hypnotherapy, medical hypnotherapy, where they make suggestions to the patient. And it's interesting, you don't even need to be in a deep state, but if a doctor tells you you're going to have 6 months to live, most people live to 6 months because of the suggestion. They're an authority figure. So you're almost in a hypnotic state with a doctor anyway. So imagine if they said you're going to come out better than ever, but of course, the modern medical industry doesn't talk about the best case scenario. They always tell you like what could happen, what could go wrong. So you're in that highly suggestible state. However, I've worked with women who went through childbirth, twins, two 8-pound babies without any medication or, and one of my friends who's now a hypnotherapist because of what happened, she had a baby and was an 8-pound baby, did not use any drugs at all, and went through the birth perfectly without pain. And she said, you know, I felt something, but she was very deep. She was able to get into that deep state. I used to help our mother, my mother, that's how I started out the childbirth hypnosis. And then even surgery, I had little CDs that back then that they would listen to while they were in surgery, and that it would tell them that the doctors are working well, they're divinely guided, your body's recovering. And you talk to your body. How many times when we're sick, do we say, oh my God, I'm never going to get better? But if you start saying to yourself, this cold is going to go away in 24 hours. I'm not getting sick. I'm healthier. If you even using those suggestions on yourself, you can really change your body. And can I add one more thing before I know you're like wanting to ask me another question, but this is really cool. I just had gotten out of hypnotherapy school, and my good friend of mine, her mother was in a coma. I had lost touch because we were away, and I came back and what's happening with your mother? She had septic shock, I guess, from a bad pneumonia, and then it got really serious. So she went into a coma, and they really were calling in anyone that could help. And I emailed her and I said, listen, I just got out of hypnotherapy school, but I think I might be able to help you. Send me a list of all the things that her body should be doing so she can recover. And so she said, we'll try anything, you know, I don't care. So I did a tape for her, a CD actually, back in those days. FedExed it to the hospital. They started playing it, and it was, your body's recovering. Your children, your grandchildren all want you, love you. They want you to get better. Like, you have a will to live. All those suggestions. Within 24 hours, she was out of her coma. And she's alive today, happy.
They said it was a miracle. Did she remember hearing anything or...
Well, I don't know. I didn't ask her that question. They were just so happy that she was out of the coma. I didn't want to be like, ooh, did my... But they said that she said the doctor said it was a miracle.
Interesting.
And my father, too, went through chemo, and I did hypnosis on him and when he had cancer. And it helped him recover and not have any side effects. And all the nurses are like, what? You know, what's going on? You're like, you have had a stronger dose than the first time, but you don't have any side effects. And he said, it's my daughter. She hypnotized me. And so it's really, really powerful that for the body that we can talk to our body, and we it doesn't need to be this deep state, but if we're careful of how we have kind of the language we use around ourselves and our body, we can really change.
Incredible stuff. So in psychology, we like to kind of tear things apart and break them down into smaller components to see what's going on. So this is kind of the best ideas that psychology has come up with as far as what's going on in hypnosis. So there seems to be three major mechanisms or concepts that are happening. One of them is absorption, and we'll go into that in a little bit. The other one is dissociation. And then the third one is suggestion, like you were saying. So absorption, we all know this. When we're driving to work, but we're absorbed in what we're going to say at the meeting when we get there. And we don't even remember how we got to work. But our body was able to just do it automatically. We were so absorbed in our thoughts that we just discounted everything else. And our body went through the motion of doing stuff and got us there safely.
Sometimes we get distracted and when we move. Have you ever had that where you move to a new home and then you're driving home from work and you're just automatically going to that same exit you would go to? And you're, well, what am I doing? And you catch yourself. Right. So that's that absorption.
Yeah, and also concentration. When we're concentrating on something we're doing intently, building a model or a puzzle or a game or some artwork that we're into, and we just kind of discount everything else. Everything else evaporates or disappears.
And that's really a very important point, because another myth of hypnosis is that you're knocked out, unaware, you're in this like foggy state. Mm-hmm. But hypnosis is actually a heightened state of awareness, a heightened state of focus. Mm. So when you're absorbed, you notice you're really focused on one thing, that everything else goes away. So if your mind is in that focus, it could really, it can be open to getting those suggestions and experiencing change.
So it could be right that the suggestion of hypnosis is giving your mind permission to focus on what the person is telling you, what the hypnotist is telling you. Mm-hmm. For example, there's no pain here, or your body's getting better, or you know, they're going to operate on you, but you won't feel anything, and that focus, that intense focus on what the suggestion is, kind of erases everything else or blurs everything else into the background.
Yeah, it's kind of like opening up a door to a part of your mind that when it's just random and not focused. We've all been in that scattered kind of mind where we're not focused, and like, where is the doorway to open up? We're very defensive, but we're in that focused state. We're actually, it's like opening a door to a different part of our mind that can absorb more of what we want to create. And so it's really powerful.
Okay, so the second one, dissociation. Now, dissociation is a psychological mechanism, a defense mechanism, excuse me. And what it does, it kind of splits our awareness to where we're able to see the part that's going through the trauma or through the pain or through some emotional thing, and we're kind of separated from it. We're dissociated from it. So it's a defense mechanism, and it might be kicking in under hypnosis here and allowing us, for example, when we're feeling the pain, to dissociate ourselves from it and say, yeah, I can feel something, like your friend going through birthing without...
She went to her happy place.
Right.
So she dissociated from her body. So her body, and think about stress and what I know from childbirth, not that I went through it, but helped other thousands of women go through it, that the more tense you are, the more pain you have in anything, in surgery or any kind of ache you have or physical ailment in your body, that stress adds to it, adds pain. So just leaving your body, being dissociated, going to a happy place, just at random, you don't need a hypnotist to do that. Just go to your happy place, go to a beautiful place. Your body starts to go back and can go into its natural flow. And the body knows really how to give birth. The body has that path, or it knows how to heal when you're injured. But our conscious mind tends to interrupt that. And that's what causes more of us having problems and healing slower. We're having pain in childbirth or pain in our life. And that's really the power of it. Now, before we continue, I want to just go to commercial break and we'll be right back.
All right.
If you're enjoying this conversation and do not want it to end, it doesn't have to. You can join us on our Facebook fan page at Creative Mind Method and continue the conversation. Get tools, free visualizations, free downloads, and announcements of live events and new courses that we're hosting. So join us after the show at Creative Mind Method on Facebook. See you there. Okay, we're back. So
we talked about absorption, dissociation, and the third one is suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's almost the definition of hypnosis, right? That it's a highly suggestible state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But this suggestion, or the mind being open to suggestion, it's a powerful idea, because that means you can instruct the mind to do something different than it's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So for example,
like affirmations, people use that.
Yeah. Or somebody that's addicted to cigarettes, for example, you can suggest that they don't want the cigarette as much as they think they do.
And really, well, the idea of the addiction is really comes from an emotional state. And so the desire, so when I would do a smoking session, was there are suggestions and a tape that says you don't want them. They taste gross. But if you don't get to the root of what's going on, like why they're smoking, just like you and I talk about, you can't just fix the surface. You have to really go and figure out, well, what is underneath all that? Like, why? What's the desire this person is drawn? What are they running from? What's the? Is this how they're managing their anxiety and all that? So I would go deeper than that. But the interesting thing about suggestion, and this is a very important point, is that a lot of people use affirmations and they think, well, I'm going to have my vision board and I have my affirmations. And those are great. But did you know, if you're in a hypnotic state, in that highly, highly conscious state, highly focused state, mm-hmm. it's like 1,000 affirmations when you say it once. So it has the power of 1,000 when you say it once. So if you listen to a relaxed state, you know, we have like hundreds of visualizations and suggestions. People listen to them and they say, it says you're feeling better about yourself. It's better than you saying, I'm feeling better about myself. It's like 1,000 times.
Because you're in that altered state.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the traffic, like I said, the door is open. It's not like a shut door that those affirmations take a while to get in, but you're opening the door, the gates are open. So it goes right to the unconscious and right to where it has power. So that's really a very important key. So a lot of people talk about affirmations and I'm always like, it could be so much better if you do it in a relaxed state. And if you want to do affirmations, get into yourself in a relaxed state first and then say your affirmations. You're going to have better results that way.
Yeah. Of course, it brings up all kinds of ideas about the placebo effect and, the power of suggestion. And it just goes to show the incredible, powerful mind that we have. What about the more mystical aspects of trance states like meditation, visualization, and hypnosis? I know people are doing past life regressions, mm-hmm. those kind of things. What do you think about those things?
They're all great. They're all fun. It's interesting. I've done a lot of past life regressions as well. And it's amazing the way I do it, that what comes up for people. And then the reason I do it is not for fun to say I was, someone famous in a past life, but more, I want to know what
everybody was Cleopatra.
What the pattern is. Yeah. Everyone was
Napoleon
or Jesus. Our teacher said, if they say they're Jesus in the session, just call it off right there. They're just looking for that, their ego's in the way. But really, truly, it's amazing. I think what Jung talked about, this is the collective unconscious. I think that's what we're really tapping into. So you're going beyond just your personal mind with the hypnotic state. You can actually go into the collective unconscious. And I have a great visualization, meditation, hypnotic experience that I take people through called the Library of Knowledge. And you can actually go in and be in that altered state and ask questions about life and things and find out information. And it's so when I do the past lives, what was interesting is that they didn't know some history of certain people. And then they would go back and do research on certain things that came up that they would not have known before. And it's like, where did that information come from? They didn't read it in a book. So we have, like, as Jung says, we have our personal unconscious, but we also have the collective. So we have a larger library to access in that state. Now, some people are just happy just quitting smoking and losing a couple pounds, and other people really want to explore spiritual work and their spirituality, and you can have really amazing altered states with this process. It actually can help with dream interpretation, and when you do have a dream, you can use that hypnotic state to open up the dream and get more out of it. And so it's really a wonderful tool to learn how to use for yourself. And again, it's all self-hypnosis. You don't need a hypnotist to put you under, as they say. Mm-hmm. This is not anesthesia. A lot of people think it's anesthesia and you're knocked out. No, it's just a heightened state. And those who meditate, who've done a lot of meditation, and they really are good at this. They really can get to that state.
Right. So for our everyday life, you know, of jobs mm-hmm. and relationships and family and friends and, you know, getting things done, what's the potential of all this? I mean, we have to use our brain and our mind to do everything we do in our world. How can we use this knowledge of hypnosis, of how the mind works, to maximize what we do in the world.
Well, I could teach you a little exercise that will help you do a little self-hypnosis on yourself. Really simple. So I want you to write down 5 statements that you would like to see in your life. And you make it in the present tense. You don't say, I don't want this or I don't want that. I don't want to be single anymore. I don't want to be poor anymore. You say, I am in a loving relationship. I am I'm successful in what I do. I'm losing weight easier and effortlessly. I am becoming healthier each and every day. Just a couple things. And then I want you to just do that in a relaxed state. Memorize them. Mm-hmm. And then connect to a feeling. And so I'm going to teach you how to get into a hypnotic state in a minute, a second.
All right.
Would you like to learn?
Of course.
All you need to do mm-hmm. is take your tongue and let it float to the roof of your mouth. And it's a little space behind your front teeth. And just close your eyes. And it automatically does something to your brain. Look at your eyes are fluttering and you're going right into that state. And so it doesn't feel any different. A lot of people expect it to be this floaty feeling, but that's all you need. So everyone, that tongue, and this is actually good if you're stressed out or you're in a meeting or you, you feel like you want to unwind, just do that. Or go to sleep.
But then you're using the suggestions that you
And then
wrote
you use
down.
The suggestions. So of course, like this. You could say them silently in your mind. You don't have to speak them out. Mm. So you just close your eyes. You put the tongue to the tip. Let it just float gently. Don't force it. Just float it gently to the tip of the roof of your mouth. And just breathe in and out. And just think of your 5 suggestions.
Don't try this if you're driving.
Yes, please don't try this. And you will find, you know, just immediate peace. So I hope you enjoyed that little exercise. And there's so much I could share. I mean, just like it reminds me of the old days. And my book, Let Love In, is all about hypnosis and love. It's all the meditations in there.
Sure.
About that. And
we'll have to put it to work and do some more calls on it. Absolutely.
Before we go, just want to say we have a Facebook fan page.
Oh, yeah.
At Creative Mind Method, where you can go and you can find out more about us, find links to our websites and our promotions, our events. We do a Facebook Live every month, so find out when those are. We have Facebook groups that we do micro free trainings in. So come to visit us, like us, follow us, and find out more and go deeper into Creative Mind Living with Debbie and Rob.
See you next time.
Take care.